One of the things I do in preparation for a Sunday message is usually Sunday night or first thing Monday morning, I look ahead to the upcoming week and see what the lectionary is giving us in terms of scriptures, and to think about and pray about what's going on in our church, what's going on in our local community, what's going on in the world, and how the Lord might lead me to preach a message that is timely and appropriate and useful to this congregation, this flock that we call Good Shepherd United Church of Christ. And I have to tell you, the one line that stuck out to me all week was Paul admitting, I don't remember if I baptized anybody else. I thought, thank God, it's not just me who's getting forgetful as he enters middle age. But I think there's an important lesson in that. See, Paul understands his calling. Paul knows that he's not the baptizer. That was John's job, right? Paul's job is to be a disciple who goes out preaching the good news of the grace of Jesus Christ. He goes out to first the Jews. He enters into the synagogues when he does his traveling. That always gets him in trouble. It gets him thrown out. Sometimes it gets him thrown in jail. But he goes out then to the Gentiles, to those who were not born into the family of God because their mother wasn't Jewish, because of some legalism. And he brings them the gospel, the saving grace of Jesus Christ by faith. He teaches them what that's all about. See, Paul understands what his calling is. And even though he goes off on his tangents, if you read the book of Acts, you're going to find out, boy, he is a rebel rouser. And he constantly gets himself in trouble. And when he's getting himself in trouble, it's usually because he's off task. He's not doing the thing he's called to do. He's doing the thing he wants to do. That's usually when Paul is getting himself thrown in jail. It's not that it's a bad thing. It's not that it's wrong for him to necessarily go into the synagogues. After all, he's a former Pharisee, right? I mean, he is a preacher of the Jewish word. He's a teacher of the law. And he even admits in Scripture, he says, I was a Pharisee's Pharisee. So much so, I was there holding the coats of the people who threw the stones that killed the first Christian martyr, Stephen. Paul admits to that. But when Paul's on task, Paul does some good stuff in ministry. He's out preaching the word of God. We hear in our gospel today, Jesus goes out and he sees some folks and he says, hey, you. Now, he doesn't use these terms, but he says, hey, Sheila. Hey, Sharon. Come follow me. And if you notice, what the gospel tells us is immediately, see, they were fishermen. They dropped their nets and they followed Jesus immediately. They didn't give him excuses. Oh, let me think and pray on that. Get all spiritual about it. Oh, let me give thought and prayer to it in the coming weeks, months, years. I'll get back to you on that, Jesus. Immediately, they dropped their nets. They dropped the thing that in the world would make sense as this is my provision. I can't live unless I'm making a buck. That hasn't changed in 2,000 years, folks. We all have a little piece of that in us. We think that our provider is the person who signs our paycheck at the end of a pay period, or our provider, if we're retired, is the government. And there's some truth to that in some sense. But in a larger context, your provider is God Almighty. And he's calling you. And he's calling you, believe it or not, to ministry. Now, you may not be called to go into formal ministry and do baptisms or to preach the word. Now, Paul had a very specialized ministry. Apparently, he was a pastor who got to call the shots and say, I don't do this, I only do that. Well, good for Paul. We're not so lucky in formal ministry today. You do what the church tells you to do, what the historic church has done for 2,000 years. You do baptize and you do preach the word. And you do pray for people, and you go out into all the world, and you try to bring people to Christ. But you know what? Each and every one of you, as a follower of Jesus Christ, if you are a true follower, if you're a true Christian, that calls on you. You may not have to read a week in advance the lectionary text to figure out what you're going to talk to your flock about, but you are called to go out into all the world and make disciples. of Christ. So how do you do that? You may not be called to do it by formally preaching, but you are called to live a life that reflects the light of Jesus Christ. And in doing so, I guarantee you there are people in your family, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, people that you run into at the Rouses when you're making groceries. They're looking at you and they're going, oh, that's one of those Christians. I don't know what to make of them. But if you're living truly the light of Christ, they're going to look at you and go, I don't know what it is about them, but I want it. I want it. See, that's the way you can fulfill a ministry. Simply by living the way God has called you to live. Simply by being open to the Holy Spirit whispering in your ear what it is that the Holy Spirit is calling you to do. Maybe it's that you see somebody in the grocery store and you know they need a hand. It could be as simple as helping them put the groceries in the car or realizing that this elderly person, this single mom, doesn't have quite enough to buy what needed to be bought and you just throw a tent up. I don't know what it is. It's different for each and every one of you. But God is calling you. And God may even be calling you to make some hard sacrifices. I promise you, if that's the case, if God's calling you to it, as the cliche says, God will bring you through it. God will provide you with everything you need to do what it is He's calling you to do. What's the health of Christianity today? I don't know. If you read all the reports, it looks like, man, this has just become an irrelevant faith. Wow, it was relevant for 2,000 years, and the Jewish faith that we come out of is relevant for 4,000 years before that, according to the written word that we have. And suddenly it's become irrelevant because people in the media say so, or because somebody wrote a report in some sort of intellectual journal? I don't know. I don't know that that's true, folks. I know when I put the news on this weekend, I saw a guy get inaugurated, and he got up there and he boldly declared his vision. It wasn't necessarily a Christian vision, and I'm not suggesting that it had to be. I'm just saying he had the guts to stand up and say what he believed. And I'm saying that when I put the news on this weekend, I also saw, I don't know how many people converging upon the nation's capital and marching in protest of the very guy who just got inaugurated. And being able to walk right past the house that the government says that he's going to live in. What is my point in all that? Obviously, people feel called to preach politics. Where are the Christians? Now, I'm not saying there weren't Christians at the inauguration. I'm not saying there weren't Christians in the protest. I'm saying, are you that willing to stand up for Christ and the message of the gospel and the word of God, the way we seem to be so willing to stand up for our political stances? I think if we put that secondary and we start living our lives convicted by the Holy Spirit, there'll be changes in our personal lives. There'll be changes in our family. There'll be changes in our community. There'll be changes in our world, and they'll be godly and good and righteous and Holy Spirit-led changes. And each of you is called to do that because you've professed your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So just as Paul understood what his ministry was, my challenge to you, each and every one of you here today, is to prayerfully contemplate, prayerfully have a conversation with God about what it is God is calling you to do in this world, how He's calling you to minister, not in the name of the Republican Party, and not in the name of the Democratic Party, and not in the name of Chloe's House, or Cephas, or Apollos, or all those other divisions that Paul showed us were there 2,000 years ago, but to do so in the name of God Almighty, our Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit that indwells each and every one of us who are professed believers in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. My prayer is that you receive that this morning And you do so in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.